This morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I encourage you once again to keep your worship bulletins handy, and if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes if you like. There's also a series of take-home reflections that I hope and pray will be a blessing to you and to me as we continue to pray upon this Word that God will share with us this morning. If you're in need of something to write with, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you this morning. So over the years, one of the things that I've really enjoyed doing in some of my downtime and my free time is hiking. Moving to Fort Wayne, Indiana, we've had to get a little creative in terms of areas of elevation. I found a few speed bumps here and there, but sometimes I find myself longing for some of the hikes of old. For example, one of the hikes that I used to do back east, and it's supposed to be one of the best hikes on the East Coast, is Old Rag Mountain in Sperryville, Virginia. Just really curious, how many of you have maybe heard of this or maybe experienced it or seen it, hiked it? Yeah, know someone who's been up the mountain and hasn't come down yet for some reason, right? So this is part of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Let's try there. Has anybody been to the Blue Ridge Mountains before? Yeah, okay. Shenandoah National Forest. Anybody? Yeah, most likely if you were in the Blue Ridge Mountains, you're also there too, so double play. So Old Rag Mountain is one of these great areas known for the Old Rag Granite that underlies a lot of the hiking trail and just the mountain itself. And what you need to know is about Old Rag Mountain is it's about a 9-mile hike that takes you to about 3,000 plus feet, an elevation change of about 2,000 plus feet. So if you want to burn off some calories, you want to make extra room for some of those sweets, this is your hike. Takes several hours, so rest assured, this is not a hike for the faint of heart. But I love to do it. I love to do it for a couple reasons. Number one, it challenges me, and it pulls me out of my comfort zone. In fact, if you're reading some of the literature before taking the hike, and I encourage you to do that, and so does the National Park System, it warns you. Be prepared. Be prepared. This is a very strenuous and taxing hike, but the rewards are great. So for example, this is some of the view that you get. So I'd like to take you up the mountain this morning. You don't have to put on your hiking shoes. You don't have to bring your water bottle, your Gatorade. You don't have to bring any snacks. You can come and see what you would see if you took the hike. So you start off, and maybe just referring to the right side picture for a moment, you start off down there, and by the time you're done hiking, well, you're not done yet, but you know, halfway at least, this is your reward. You get to look down, and you get a bird's eye view of God's great creation, and all those big buildings that were two stories or maybe larger, well, now they look itty-bitty. Great hike. Great hike. It starts off like most good hikes, you know, nice flat trail. You know, oh, this is great. You know, we can do this. Nice open trail. It's even cleared of debris and rocks and sticks. But then not long after, you start to come to this. Rock scrambles, boulder scrambles, and you have your work cut out for you. But the reward of going up the mountain and enduring the rock scrambles and the various forms of wildlife that creep and crawl and run across the path, whether a white-tailed deer or a rattlesnake, whatever it is, it's worth it. Because when you get to the top, this is what you get to soak in. It's great. Love to do it. But one of the big reasons I also did this hike and hope to get back is because I love to take hikes with other people. And maybe that's your heart too. You go out there and you're like, oh, I know so-and-so. They really need to be a part of this hike. I want to bring them next time. I don't know if they'll make the whole thing, but I'd love to have them experience this. It's just only for a little while, for a little stretch. So back east, that was one of my greatest joys, was to not only do the hike, but to enjoy the hike and enjoy God's creation with somebody else. And maybe that's your heart too. So for us, for example, it looked like taking a group of young men from the church, some intrepid folks who were willing to brave the mountain hike, go up and come down with their pastor. Or in a couple other situations, it looked like taking our junior high and senior high youth on the hike as well, taking them up the mountain to see this and to have a Bible study focus on God's creation and to come back down the mountain changed. One of the things that I appreciated about those moments, especially in sharing it with other people, was the conversation. When you're locked into a hike that's several miles and several hours in duration, you start to talk about a number of things. Not just the superficial things like, oh, how's the weather? Well, I know the sun's out. How was your week? Good. You know, how was work? How was school? It was busy. Okay. But at a certain point, the conversation starts to get real, and we start to talk about things of substance. I think of one conversation in particular. We're taking out a group of young men from the church, and we're hiking, and all of a sudden, somebody started to intentionally trail back a little bit. And being the one who's leading the hike, it probably doesn't look good if the pastor takes people up the mountain and then he doesn't bring them back down. It probably looks bad. It probably doesn't help our standing in the community. So I start to kind of taper off as well, and I start to kind of hang back so we can catch up. And then I start to have the conversation, the real conversation. And for this person in particular, their job was to go into situations that were devastated by fire, oftentimes arson. And this young man was the individual who was entrusted with helping identify what caused the fire, and in some situations, what took the life. And so in that particular moment, the conversation, it took a turn, and I heard these four words, and maybe you've heard them too before. It went something like this: Pastor, we need to talk. Have you had a conversation like that before? Or maybe in the course of life, daily activities, hustle, bustle, you're going about your business and you're going from point A to point B, and then someone comes up to you, maybe a family member, a friend, a coworker, a classmate, and they kind of tug on your shirt sleeve, if not, you know, physically, maybe verbally, and they share with you those four words: we need to talk. Not too many four-word phrases that will catch your attention like those, am I right? When a spouse comes up to you and says, we need to talk. When a son or daughter comes up to you and says, we need to talk. When mom or dad comes to you and says, we need to talk. And my guess is at that point in time, you're starting to read body language. Okay, is this going to go good? Maybe at school, teacher or coach pulls you aside and says, we need to talk. Supervisor, manager, coworker at work comes to you privately and says, we need to talk. Those four words will stop you right in your tracks. Sometimes in life, the conversation, it takes a turn and it changes. And in our gospel lesson this morning, here's what we see. The conversation takes a turn and it changes. In Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 3, Matthew invites you and me to go on this hike with Jesus and his disciples, to experience this life-changing, transformative hike, with the result that you and I would come back down the mountain, so to speak, with a changed perspective and a changed conversation, but also a changed life. This is what Matthew shares with us. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. What's Jesus doing with his disciples? The very thing we talked about a moment ago. He's taken his disciples, his friends, on a hike. And this is a hike unlike any other. This is the kind of hike that you go on and you leave changed. This is the kind of hike where you start to have the kind of real conversation that gets to the heart of things. Not the superficial, how's the weather, how's your day, how's your week. This is a relational, transformative conversation and hike. Continue, verse 2. Matthew records for us, there he, Jesus, was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. If you remember from our gospel lesson, we see this is what happens quickly after this significant event. Peter attempts to change the conversation. There's something going on that Peter, James, and John need to know, need to see, need to be a part of it in some special way that will be carried with them for the rest of their lives. And in this moment, there's a conversation going on, and it's a good one. It's one that folks need to tune into. But Peter, speaking from his own heart, attempts to change the conversation. And here's what we hear. Verse 4, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter, in his own way, in some ways maybe we can't fault him. Because let's be honest, let's be real with each other for a moment this morning. Peter's not the only one who attempts to confine and define Jesus. Peter's thinking in the here and the now. Peter's thinking for this right moment. Peter's thinking this for Jesus. Not this, but this. And so it's at that point in Peter's life and from Peter's heart, Peter attempts to define and confine Jesus. We know about conversations that change as well, don't we? Probably doesn't take you or me too long to think back to a situation that happened in the course of our week and our activities where maybe we were involved with something, but then we had that critical conversation and boy, things took a big turn. Or maybe this, you're having a conversation with somebody already and then somebody shares something or someone hits the pause button or someone stops you abruptly and says, we need to talk. And then the conversation spins on its heels and you find yourself going in another direction. If you're like me, maybe you've been part of those household conversations over the years or at a friend's house. And what are those two hot topic buttons that people swear and say they will never bring up when family and friends are gathered because they are hot topic button conversations? Politics and religion. Boy, you want to talk about a conversation, a situation that'll turn on its heels, bring some of those things up, right? Sometimes in life we know about other conversations as well. Or maybe you feel like you're on the same page with somebody else, but then they share something with you, and then you start to realize that we are not in the same place. Maybe that's happening at work for you. Maybe that's happening for you at school. Maybe it's happening for you at home. Maybe it's happening in the life of your faith family, your church. See, sometimes I think God's people come to these moments, these seasons in life, the hike, so to speak, where the conversation starts to change. But I have to ask you this morning, because I care about you. Most importantly, God does. God loves you. Are you having the conversations that you need to have? Are you having the right conversation? Peter attempts to change the conversation, and we heard that. But then Peter gets interrupted. Because God loves Peter enough to stop him. God loves Peter enough to change the conversation and the focus back to where it really needs to be. And so this is what Peter hears, and this is what you and I hear this morning. Three things from a really profound but short statement. This is what Peter hears. Verse 5, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Peter tries to take the conversation this way, but God, out of his love for Peter, does this with the conversation. He brings it back. So if you didn't hear it already, please let me say it again. God loves Peter enough to change the conversation and the focus back to Jesus, where true hope is found. And friends, that's for you and for me today as well. God loves you enough. God loves you enough. God loves you enough. God loves you enough. God loves you enough to change the conversation that we've been having, to pull the conversation and the focus back to Jesus. Why? Because that's where true hope is found. My question to you on the heels of that statement, that comment, is just this. Do you love somebody enough to change the conversation back to Jesus? And the focus back to Jesus, where true hope is found. And here's why I ask you that question this morning. Over the years, as a pastor, not even just as a pastor, but as a Christian, I hear time and time again that people are attempting to manufacture hope through all the wrong people and through all the wrong things and all the wrong situations. And they come back and they're so frustrated, they're so disappointed, they're so hurt why it doesn't work out. They've attempted to cultivate and change and massage the conversation, and it's not part of Jesus, but it maybe feels good for a little while. And for a while, it looks like things are going this way, but then they drop, and there's a lot of heartache and brokenness, and then it starts to have a ripple effect. And there becomes collateral damage. spouses that get hurt, kids that get pushed away, friends and relationships that go to the side, jobs that are topsy-turvy, areas of the church where things just, they're just not clicking. And in those moments, I have to ask a hard question. And it's a question that God asks you and me every day. And the question is this: is the conversation and focus where it really needs to be? Because if it's about Jesus and his word, we're probably on the right track. We've stayed on the course for the hike. But if it's become about something other than Jesus or his great commission work or the focus on what God has done for you and for me through Jesus, then maybe, just maybe, we're having the wrong conversation. As a pastor and as a Christian, I see so many well-meaning congregations take this detour off the hike. It's a big hike. It's many miles. It's many hours, many days, many years, many critical moments. But here's what I find. So oftentimes, well-meaning Christians, well-meaning congregations, they take the conversation, focus on Jesus, and they start to change it into something else, with the result that we start to miss the hike. And after a while, we start to miss the hike, and we miss Jesus. And then we invite people to come with us on that hike, but they don't get Jesus. They don't get the conversation where God says to you and to me through his own personal way, I love you enough to give my son for you, to pay the debt you could never pay, so that your life would be defined by something much greater than anything you could ever buy or work or earn towards, a real hope. So my question to you this morning once again is this, and maybe you have someone in your life who's struggling because they're having the wrong conversation. They're wrapped up in the wrong things, and maybe, just maybe, their focus isn't really where it needs to be. My question to you is this: do you love them enough to change the conversation back to Jesus and his word? Do you love them enough to bring the focus back to Jesus? That's hard, isn't it? During some of these hikes, and maybe with the example I gave you a moment ago about the young man whose job was to go into some of these horrific situations where arson had just ripped apart a home, a business, a family, lives, and so on. I think back to that conversation, and I think about the way in which it started, but I also think about the way it finished, because here's how it finished. Here's really what this young man was asking me. He said, tell me in the midst of all the ash and the rubble that there is still good. Tell me in the midst of all the brokenness, all the mess, all the death, that there's a bigger plan, and it involves something that I need, hope. And the cool thing was, in that moment, you know what we got to do? We got to talk about Jesus. I think about the times we took the youth up the mountain, and I can picture very clearly the youth who would start to trail back, the folks who weren't linked up with somebody else on the hike during the buddy system. I can think about these critical moments where we would stop at a lookout, and the group's all sitting right here talking and chatty, but then I think about the youth that's sitting by himself or by herself, and I think about the conversation that we have. And I hear about the bullying at school. I think about the friends who are fair weather. They're there today and they're gone tomorrow, but as they're on their way out, they're land blasting you during Facebook and social media time. And I hear the conversation change. And I hear the desire and the plea to know that there's something else out there that's bigger and above this, above the mess. And it's in those moments the conversation takes a turn and it comes back to Jesus and about the identity that he gives to us out of his grace. I wonder where those moments have been for you. My guess is at this point in time in your life, after you've worn enough tread off the tires, you've probably had some of those critical conversations. And maybe you've been having one of those. And maybe you've been finding yourself in an emotional and spiritual and mental wrestling match where you keep trying to have the conversation you really need to have. And my encouragement to you this morning is just this, that if it's focused on Jesus and his word for you, you're on the right track. Do you love somebody enough to change the conversation back to Jesus? Do you love somebody enough to put the focus back to Jesus, where true hope is found? Sometimes this is what it looks like in marriage, right? It looks like level ground, but then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, something happens, and all of a sudden, you find yourself in a rock scramble, and you're like, I can navigate my way through this, but then maybe it starts to get tight. Maybe you're there. I don't know what conversation you've been having between there and there, but here's my question to you and your family. Do you love him? Do you love her enough to bring the focus back to Jesus, where true hope is found? You walk into school, right? And it's a good day. It's Monday, right? So far, so good. You just got there. But then very quickly, you run into that person, and you know who it is. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself in one of these situations, and you feel like you're in a rock scramble, and you feel like you're trying to squeeze your way through, and it's like, oh, it's Monday. How am I going to get to Friday? Here's how you get to Friday. You love that person enough to bring the focus back to Jesus. You go to work tomorrow, and maybe Monday feels like this, Tuesday, Wednesday, you think, all right, I can do it. Friday's almost there. And all of a sudden, something happens that you didn't see coming. And all of a sudden, you find yourself trying to squeeze through, like, oh, just get me to Friday. But you realize, well, Friday's good and all, Monday's going to come back around, isn't it? So do you love the place you work enough? Do you love your coworkers and those you work with enough to bring it back to Jesus? Even if they're not Christian. Because let's be honest, they need Jesus. They need him through you. How about this? You walk into your church family, and you're there to hear about Jesus. And you know he's called us all to be about this great commission. And there are no scorecards, there's no favorites. We're all on the same level, right? Because the ground beneath the cross is what? It's level. But sometimes, for whatever reasons, we find ourselves in some of these. So many well-meaning Christians and congregations find themselves in the bind, the pinch, and we're squeezed and we're trying to get through. My question to you is this. Will you love your brothers and sisters in Christ enough to bring the conversation back to Jesus? Why? Because when the conversation and focus is back on Jesus, that's where the church has hope. See, I meet a lot of people throughout the week, not just in our church, but others I'm blessed to be connected with through you. And I feel like in their heart they're doing this. They're sitting on a mountain peak by themselves, and they found themselves brought on a hike, and they don't know quite know how they got there, but they're on this hike nonetheless. And they find themselves at the corner of this peak, and they got 1 foot off and 1 foot on, and they're looking out, and they're asking themselves, what's going to change the landscape of life from this point on? Am I going to have to do it alone? What's it going to be like? What are the costs? And I have to ask the question, is this a place where a conversation focused on Jesus would be exactly what's needed? Do you know somebody who's in that position right now? Are you there? Peter attempts to change the conversation, but God loves Peter enough to change the conversation back to Jesus, to bring the focus back to Jesus. Why? Because that's where hope is found. Whatever conversations, whatever activities you've been a part of, know this. God loves you enough to change the conversation and the focus back to Jesus, because that's where your true hope is found. Matthew shares this in verses 6 to 8. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. I know we haven't been on a physical hike this morning, but we've been there, haven't we? God in his love for you and through his Holy Spirit and his word, he's brought us into this hike because he loves us. And it's in this critical moment that God has spoken to your heart and mine. And his desire is that the conversation would be brought back to Jesus, because that's where our true hope is found. As you leave today, my prayer for you is just this, and for me is just this, that God's Holy Spirit would have touched your heart. That whatever conversations you've been having, if they've been focused on Jesus, praise God, keep it up. But if the conversation has been focused on something or someone other than Jesus, if the focus has been on someone or something other than Jesus, then maybe it's time for a change. May God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for loving us enough to invite us on the hike with you today. Sometimes in life, we know when a big come to Jesus conversation is coming, but sometimes we don't see it coming. Thank you for loving us enough to plant that conversation among us this morning. We put ourselves with Peter, James, and John, and we give pause today. We think about the places we've been, the conversations we've been having, the things we've been a part of. And Father, we find ourselves in a heavy-hearted situation, but we know that your grace is sufficient for us. We know that your forgiveness is endless for us. And we know that you've paid our debt through your son, Jesus. You put us in an opportunity and in a right time, right season of life to have the right conversation and the right focus, which is on Jesus. So today we pray, help the conversation and the focus to be about Jesus. As the congregation continues to follow you with more of the Great Commission work, help the conversation to be about Jesus. Help the focus to be on Jesus. As we prayerfully go into meetings and decisions and situations where we're torn and wrestling with what to do next, keep the conversation, keep the focus on Jesus. When we find ourselves in the midst of something confusing or hard to process at home, at work, or at school, bring the conversation, bring the focus back to Jesus. And remind us that in those moments that it's you through your Holy Spirit who speaks through us. So grant this to us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.